Start from the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara asks, Iboya Luhu, Etzem Kisaora Halacha Urevias Dam Kalvachomer, the Ain Dunan Kalvachomer Me Halacha, Odilma Revias Dam Halacha, the Etzem Kisaora Kalvachomer, the Ain Dunan Kalvachomer Me Halacha. The Gemara is analyzing the mission that we ended off with yesterday. If you remember, we quoted this conversation between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, where they were discussing the contrast between an etzem kisaora, the fact that if a nazir touches or carries a size of a barley corn of a mace, then he's going to become tamei, but if he's in the same enclosure, then he's not. Whereas by a revius of blood, he's even metamei ba'ohel. So the logic that Rabbi Akiva wanted to suggest was that if a nazir has to shave for coming into contact or carrying an etzem kisaora, where he's not metamei ba'ohel, then kal v'chomer for a revius of blood, where he is metame ba'ohel, and then the response to that was that something along the lines of you can't draw kal v'chomers from halacha l'moshe misinas. That was the basic gist of the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly did the Mishnah mean? Did the Mishnah mean that the case of etzem kisaora, that the barley corn size of the mace, that's the halacha l'moshe misinai, and the fact that a revius dam is metame even ba'ohel, that's the kal v'chomer, and therefore you can't extrapolate kal v'chomers from halacha l'moshe misinai? Or maybe no. Maybe the Mishnah meant that the revius dam is the halacha l'moshe misinai, and the etzem kisaora is the kal v'chomer, and again, you can't extrapolate kal v'chomer from halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, Tashma, etzem kisaora halacha, urevias dam kal v'chomer, ve'ein dunin kal v'chomer me halacha. The Gemara takes the second approach, namely, that the halacha of etzem kisaora, that's the halacha l'moshe misinai. The revias dam, that's the, I'm sorry, the Gemara takes the first approach, that etzem kisaora is the halacha l'moshe misinai, revias dam is the kal v'chomer, and again, you cannot extrapolate a kal v'chomer from a halacha l'moshe misinai. Hadron alach kohen gadol. Okay, says the Mishnah, Shnei Nazirim, Sha'amar lohen echad, Ra'isi echad mikem shenitma, ve'ein Yodea Ezamikem. So imagine the following. A guy comes up to two people who are Nazirs and he said, I know that one of you became Tame, but I don't know which one of you became Tame. So what do they do? Megalchin umivian carbon tumma vikarbon tahara. So they both have to shave and they both have to bring a carbon of tumma and also they have to bring a carbon of tahara. The Omer. Imanihu tame carbon tumma shaliva carbon tahara shalcha. The imanihu hatahar carbon tahara shaliva carbon tumma shalcha. So basically they make a stipulation and they say, if I'm the tame one, this is my carbon and you're going to bring the carbon tahara. And if you're the tame one, this is your carbon tumma and I'm going to bring the carbon tahara. The sofren shloshim yom. Umbevian carbon tahara, the omer. Imanihu hatame carbon tumma shaliva carbon tahara shalcha, vize carbon tahara si. The imanihu atar carbon tahara shaliva carbon tumma shalcha, vize carbon tahara scha. And again, once they count those 30 days, they bring a carbon of tahara and they make the same stipulation. If I was the tame one, so then this is your carbon of tahara, and the carbon that I brought earlier was my carbon of tumma. And if I was the tahara one, this is my carbon of tahara, and the carbon you brought earlier was your carbon of tumma. Fine. So the Gemara says, Katane, shnei nazirim shah. Amr lahem ra'isi echad mikem shenitma ve'eini yodea eza mikem v'yamai kol sfeik tumah b'rishos hayachin meheicha yalfinan la misota ma sota boel v'neveles av kol sfeik tumah b'rishos hayachin kegon di'ika be'trei aval hacha shnei nazirim v'hai dekoi gabeon hatlasa havalei sfeik tumah b'rishos harabim v'chol sfeik tumah b'rishos harabim sfeik otar. So the Gemara questions the entire premise of this Mishnah, right? The Mishnah was assuming you have two guys who are standing around who are nazirs. You have this third guy comes along and he says, I know that one of you became tummy, but I don't know which one, that all of a sudden we have to throw the book at these two guys and we have to be machmir in all directions and we have to assume the worst for both of them. But the question is, why should that be so? The whole premise, the whole basis for the halachos of tumma are derived from the parsha of Sota, right? There's a very famous halacha called Safik tumma berishus hayachin and Safik tumma berishus haram. We've spoken about this in the past, which basically means that whenever you have a scenario of a safik that arises in the realm of tumma, the determining factor as to whether you have to be machmir will depend on the context or where the situation of tumma arises. If it arises in a rishus harabim, we're always going to be lenient, and conversely, rishus hayachin we're machmir. Now, for the purposes of these halachos, what's the definition of a rishus harabim and a rishus hayachin? So the Gemara says we have to look at the halachos of sota. That's where the basis for these halachos are derived from. So the Gemara says, just as the paradigm of sota, there are only two people involved. There's the adulterer, and then there's the adulteress. Those are the only two people. That's the definition of a rishus hayachin. That's why we assume that a woman, until she can clarify by drinking the mayim hama'arim, we treat her as a sota. Why? Because the suffix as to whether she had relations arose in a quote-unquote rishus hayachid. There was just her and the man, and there was no one else around. However, here in our scenario, there's a third guy involved, the guy who says, I saw that one of you became tummy. So shouldn't that make this case a suffix tumma and rishus harabim, which would therefore lead us to believe that we should actually be makil whenever you have a suffix tumma? Why are we throwing the book at these two guys and telling them to bring a carbon of tahara, a carbon of tumma, to shave, to count? We should just be mekel. We should just assume that neither of them became tame. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rabba bar Ravuna, but Omer Ra'isi Tuma Shenizrika Beinechem. The case was that the third guy wasn't present at the time that these two people became tame. In other words, the Tuma only arose. In other words, he saw the Tuma from far off. He was standing a few feet, or he was standing a mile away, and he sees that one of them possibly became tame. That's the scenario. In other words, that's a classic definition of a Rishus Hayachid, because the suffix only arose regarding two people. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, Dekanami, Dekatani, the Eini Yodea, Eza Mikem, Shmamina. It's actually precise from the Mishnah. It sounds that way because the Mishnah says, I don't know which one of you became Tame. The only way he wouldn't know that is if he wasn't right there. So the fact is, he sounds like he was far away. That's the reason why we assume that the suffix arose in a Rishus Hayachid type of setting. Bill, you have a question?
Rabbi, didn't we have an example, maybe I'm completely wrong, that if there are two people and they walk down a path.
Yes.
That neither of them are tame. Am I correct?
Well, that's a little bit complicated, actually. That case is actually a little bit complicated. That's the case that appears in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. That's the famous case called Shnei Shvilin. You have two guys walk down two paths. We know one path is Tameh. We don't know which one is which. So it's actually not a clear, a cut and dry halacha that, you know, they're all going to be tar. It depends on the scenario. It depends if they come to ask the Shiloh together, if they come to ask one after another. You have to kind of iron out the details of that case before you can say they're both tar or they're both Tameh. Again, how that case relates to our case is an interesting question. It's not exactly the same principle over there, but again, that case is going to depend on some of the details of how they presented the question, how they asked the question. Here, there was an item of Tumah between the two Nazir, and we just don't know which one touched the item, so now we have to kind of figure out, is this a Rishus HaYachid type of a suffix? Is it a Rishus HaRabim type of a suffix? That's what we're trying to figure out here. That's the context. Okay, fine. So then the Mishnah said, Megalchenu Mevi'en V'yamai, Dilmalav Temein Inun V'ka'avet HaKafa. Gemara has a fascinating shaila here. The Mishnah said that in this case where the two Nazirs are besafik, we don't know which of them became Tameim, so they both have to shave, and then they ultimately have to bring various carbonos, the carbon of tahara, carbon of tum, etc. So the question is, what right do they have to shave in the first place? Maybe this guy was actually tahar; he never became tameh. And if he was tahar, so then a nazir in this context is again not only in other words is not only not allowed to shave, but he's going to end up violating the isra of hakatha. Right? The Torah tells us in Parshas Emor, lo sakifu pa'as roshchem velo sashchis es pa'azikanecha, which basically means you're not allowed to round off the corners of here. You can't shave off your payas. So the question is, the only time that there would be a heter of hakafas pa'as, of shaving off your payas, is where the Torah specifically tells you to shave all your hair off, like by a metzora, like by a nazir at the end of his period of tahara. But in other words, if we're assuming that the guy is really tahar, and he's not really justified in shaving, again, one of these two nazirim are actually tahar. So if they're tahar, they have no right to shave right now, so what right do we have to tell both of them to shave? So the Gemara says, nope, Amar Shmua b'isha v'kata, maybe we're talking about a case where the two nazirs are either women, or the two nazirs are ketanim. Well, if they're ketanim, it makes a lot of sense, because ketanim are not obligated to mitzvos. But what about by a woman? So as we're talking about in the Gemara in a second, even though typically we assume that that women are obligated in every single losa asay, right, that exception of mitzvos asay, shahazman grama, is only for mitzvos asay, not for losa asays, the Gemara points out in Maseches Kiddushin and a few other places as well, that there are three exceptions to that rule. There are three losa asays that women are not obligated in. Two of them are related to what we just spoke about not rounding off the payas, and about not destroying the beard. And the third is that for an Ashes Kohen or a Bas Kohen, she's not obligated if she becomes Tameh Lemes, right? The prohibition of becoming Tameh is only for male Kohanim. So those are the three Surim that do not apply to women. So the Gemara says, you could just say, the case is that the two Nazirs are either Ketanim or they're women. So then the Gemara says, V'lokma begadol v'hakafas kol arosh lo shma hakafa. Midolo mokim lahachi shma mina kasavar shmol hakafas kol arosh shma hakafa. The Gemara just points out that in other words, another possible answer that one could have given to explain the Mishnah would have been to say that maybe both Nazirs are really Gedolim, they're both male, and maybe the case is that they shaved off their entire head, and there's a machlokes in general throughout Shas about whether it's called hakafas kol harosh shma hakafa or lav shma hakafa. When one shaves off their entire head, do you call that rounding off the payas? Because obviously by definition you're also going to be shaving off the payas, or in other words, or do we assume that no, that rounding off the payas means you only shave the payas off? So that seems to be a machlokes. So the Gemara infers from the fact that the Gemara does not that the Gemara does not give this answer that it was two gedolim but they shaved their whole head off, that Shmuel seems to assume that shaving off all all your hair is still considered a violation of Hakafas Pas, because if it wasn't, that would have been a valid okimta, that would have been a valid way to explain the Mishnah. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Marzutra Masne Lola Hashmaita de Shmuel Asefa. Nazir Shahaya Tame Besafik Umuchle Besafik, Ochel Bekachim Laachar Shishim Yom, Umigaleach Dalit Tiglachos, Vahaka Avid Hakafa. So in this version of the Gemara is quoting the same statement as Shmuel, but in a slightly different context. It's referencing the Mishnah that we're going to see on Daf and Tes. We actually quoted this Mishnah also yesterday and 2 days ago, where the Mishnah says that if I have a Nazir who's Tamei B'Safek, in other words, we're not sure if he became Tamei L'Meis, and we're also not sure if he's a Mitzora Muchlat, so he has to shave 4 times. Again, we spoke a lot about this yesterday, about the fact that he has to account for all the possibilities. Maybe he's a Nazir Tamei, maybe he's a Nazir Tar, maybe he's a Mitzora. He has to shave twice for potentially being a Mitzora. So the Gemara says in those cases, he can eat Karbanos after 60 days, and he has to shave 4 times, as we just pointed out. So again, the question is, isn't he violating the Isser of Lo Sakifu? He's rounding off the payas. Maybe he's not really chayav to shave in the first place. So the Gemara again says, Amar Shmuel be'isha v'katan. So in the second version, in other words, in Mar Zutra's version, Shmuel is commenting on that Mishnah on Daf and Tes. When the Mishnah says that I have a Nazir who maybe is Tamei L'Meis, maybe he's a Metzora Mukhla, now he has to shave 4 times, that's only talking about either a woman or a katan. Because if it's a gadol, they may be in violation of the Isser of Lo Sakifu. They may, in fact, not be allowed to shave off their payas in case they're really not a Nazir or a Nazir Tamei or a Metzora, whatever the case is. So the Gemara says the only justification to shave off the payas is by a woman or a katan where the Isser doesn't apply in the first place, or in the case of a katan, he's not going to be chayav for it. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, hamakif es hakatan arehu chayav. So imagine the following. Imagine you're a barber and you are shaving off the payas of a katan. Now again, the katan himself is obviously not chayav in mitzvos, but you as the gadol, you're the barber, the Gemara says, you are chayav for rounding off the payas of the katan. So Amar le Rav Ada barahava le Rav Huna, vididach man migalech lahun. So Rav Ada turns to Rav Huna and says, who's shaving your kid's hair? Who's cutting your kid's hair? And I guess the assumption was is that Rav Huna's kids, their payas were getting rounded off. So Amar Le Chova. So he said, my wife Chova is cutting their hair. So Rav Ada said, Tik Berilun Chova Livnei. Chova should bury her children. So the Gemara says, Kul Hushnei de Rav Ada Marava, Loikayim Le Zara Le Rav Huna. Because of this curse that Rav Ada issued, so as long as he was alive, Rav Huna's children, they die. They never lived because of this curse that he issued. So the Gemara says, Michti. Travayu Svira Hakafas Kol Rosh Shema Hakafa B'mai Kamiflege. Both Rav Ada and Rav Huna assume that rounding off, in other words, that shaving the entire head is still considered to be hakafa. It's still called a violation of Lo Sakifu. So what exactly are they arguing about here? Whether, let's say, a woman can give a haircut, let's say, to a katan and shave off the payas. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna savar, Lo Sakifu pa'as roshechem ve'lo sashchis eis pa'as zikanecha, kol sheyesh lo hashchasa yesh lo hakafa, v'hani no shehova v'leis ne'u b'hashchasa, leis ne'u nami b'hakafa, v'ravada barahava savar echad hamakif ve'echad hanikaf b'mashma, v'iskash... Makif lenikaf. Kol hecha denikaf michayav. Makif nami michayav. Vahai katan hoel vuhu gufe lav bar onshin hu de michayav. Makif nami lo michayav. So the Gemara basically says that Machlokas is as follows. According to Rav Huna, he says, the Pasuk tells us that you can't round off your payas and you also can't destroy the corners of your beard. So anyone who's subject to the prohibition of hashchasa, of not destroying the beard, is also subject to the prohibition against hakafa. And since women are not obligated to hashchasa, as we also pointed out before, there is no prohibition for a woman to shave the edge, the corners of her beard, there's also no prohibition for a woman to do hakafa. Whereas Rav Ada says, no, that when the Pasuk says lo sakifu in the plural, that implies that the prohibition applies both to the barber as well as to the person getting their hair cut. And therefore, we draw a comparison between the one cutting the hair and the one getting their hair cut. Namely, that only when the subject of the haircut is chayav for having their hair rounded off, then the barber is chayav. But here in a scenario where it's a katan is not chayav, in other words, when he gets his hair when he gets the payas shaved off, so therefore the woman is also not chayav when she rounds off there. Again, the implication is that obviously according to Rav Ada, if let's say you had a woman or a katan as the barber, but they're cutting the payas off of a gadol, that would be a problem according to Rav Ada. According to Rav Huna, it wouldn't be an issue because according to Rav Huna, the focus is always on the barber. If the barber is not chayav, it doesn't matter about the guy getting the haircut. According to Rav Ada, all that matters is the guy getting. In other words, really, he says both of them matter. If the subject of the haircut is chayav, then the barber is also not allowed to cut off the hair. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Lema hakafas kol harosh shenahi. Now the Gemara wants to suggest that this question about whether shaving all the hair off is still a violation of Lo Sakifu, that should really be subject to the following machlokas. The son of Rabbanan, Rosho Ma Talmud Lomar. The Pasuk says in Parshas Mitzora, when it describes the fact that a Mitzora has to shave all of his hair at the end of the at the end of the 7 days of his counting of Tzaras, the Pasuk says, V'haya b'yom ha-shvi'i yigalach es kol sa'aro, es rosho v'es gano v'eitz gabo se'na v'es kol sa'aro yigalach. Basically says, that's shave all his hair. The hair hair of his head, the hair of his eyebrows, the hair of his beard, everything has to come off. So what's being added from the word rosho, the hair of his head? So the Gemara says, Lafisha nemar lo sakifu pa'as roshachem, yachol af mitzorakein. The Torah tells me that there's a general prohibition of lo sakifu, you can't shave off your payas. So I might have said that that same prohibition applies to a mitzora who's shaving at the end of his tzaras. Talmud lomar rosho. Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Torah says rosho, which means that by the mitzora that overrides the prohibition of lo sakifu. Then the Gemara says, Visanya idach rosho ma talmud lomar. Lafisha nemar gabe nazir ta'ar lo ya'avora rosho, yachol af nazir mitzorakein. The Torah says that there's a prohibition of nazir is not allowed to shave his hair, so I might have said that even if the guy's a nuzer and a mitzora, he's also not allowed to shave his hair. Says Gemara, no, tamid lomar rosho, my lav tanahi, lamanda amar ni nuzer kasavar hakafas kol harosh lo shma hakafa, v'chiyasa kro lemidcheyas lo sasei vasei, v'idach savar hakafas kol harosh shma hakafa, v'chiyasa kro lemidchey lav greda. So the Gemara wants to suggest as follows, that perhaps this machlokes is really a general machlokes about what the status of hakafas kol harosh is. When a person shaves all their hair off, is that called a violation of lo sakifu? So one opinion in the Gemara that derives from Nazir, they're going to say that really shaving off all your hair is not called Hakafas HaRosh. It's not called Lo Sakifu. So why do I need this Pasuk then of Rosho? Because Rosho teaches me that despite the fact that by a Nazir, there's both a lav and an Aseh. There's a lav that says Tar Lo Yavor HaRosho. No razor can pass over a Nazir's hair. And there's also an Aseh that says Kadosh Hiyeh Gadel Peras Sa'ar Rosho. The Nazir has to grow his hair out. There's still this Pasuk by the Mitzora that says Rosho overrides the lav and the Aseh. That's what the Pasuk is teaching me. The other opinion that says that hakafas kol harosh is called a hakafa, that shaving all your hair is a violation of lo sakifu, so therefore the pasuk is coming to simply push aside just the regular law, just the law of ta'ar lo ya'avor harosho. So the word rosho by the mitzora overrides the prohibition against the nazir shaving his hair. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar Rava dechulei alma hakafas kol harosh lo shma hakafa, v'chi asa kra kagon shehikif ulevesov gilach kevan de'ilu galchei b'chad zimna lo michayav, ki hikif ulevesov gilach nami lo michayav. The Gemara says, no, everyone agrees that shaving all your hair is not a violation of lo sakifu. So what's the chiddush of the pasuk by the mitzora of rosho? The chiddush is, let's say the guy just shaved his payas off first, and then afterwards he shaved all the rest of his hair off. So the Gemara says that in that case he would not be chayav. Why? Because if you shave all your hair off at one shot, you're also not chayav for violating lo sakifu because you have an obligation to shave as a mitzora. So when you do it in this fashion, by first specifically shaving off the payas and then the rest of the hair, the Gemara says you're also not going to be chayav in that case. Okay.